California voters passed 12 of 17 propositions, including one that made national headlines. KALW's Stephen Short has more.
California's marijuana users can finally step out of the shadows because voters have approved Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. People attending last night's Yes on 64 party in San Francisco included Aaron Smith, executive director of the National Cannabis Industry Association.
We just got a big win in Florida for medical marijuana, and we can now actually say that 60% of Americans live in a state that has some form of legal marijuana, and it's unbelievable.
The rules under Prop 64 allow anyone at least 21 years old to possess up to an ounce of marijuana flower and allows for a taxed and regulated recreational marijuana industry. But don't hold your breath waiting for your local recreational pot shop to open its doors. The earliest that will happen is January. Not next January, but January 2018.
That's KALW's Stephen Short. Voters also called for more legislative transparency, an extension of a tax on high earners, a higher tax on cigarettes and e-cigarettes, multilingual schools, and more regulations on guns and ammunition. They decided not to try to lower the price of pharmaceuticals, not require condoms and porn, and not repeal the death penalty. Instead, they voted to speed up the appeals process. Here's KALW's Holly J. McDeed with more.
The results are in for California's two competing death penalty ballot measures. Prop 66, the measure that would speed up the death penalty appeal process, has passed. Prop 62, though, which would have appealed the death penalty, has not. Matt Cherry opposes the death penalty and doesn't think that Prop 66 is realistic.
So I think if 66 passes and 62 loses, we're going to see what we've seen with the death penalty over the last 10 years, which is failure, expenses, litigation, confusion, and frustration.
Prop 66 seeks to speed up the appeal process by adding to the pool of qualified attorneys who can take on those appeals. But that doesn't mean executions will take place anytime soon, because those will remain frozen until the state revises its lethal injection protocol.
In a nation that turned redder last night, elected officials were a deep blue in the Bay Area. Democrat Kamala Harris took an easy and expected victory over fellow Democrat Loretta Sanchez in the race for Barbara Boxer's U.S. Senate seat. And in a rematch of Silicon Valley Democrats, Ro Khanna became a congressman, beating eight-term incumbent Mike Honda. In San Francisco, two Democrats battled it out for a vacant seat in the state Senate. KALW's Judy Silber reports.
Scott Weiner claimed victory for the District 11 state Senate seat, representing San Francisco and northern San Mateo County. Weiner had fought a tight race against Jane Kim, and on the surface, the two are more alike than not. They are both current San Francisco supervisors, progressive, and both have vowed to address this city's most vexing problem, that of affordable housing. The difference is they have very different ideas about how that should be done, with Weiner saying the city must bolster its shelter system and remove tent encampments on the streets.
This was not an easy campaign. This was a hard campaign, and we only did it because of the coalition that we built.
Weiner prevailed with millions of dollars raised by his campaign and endorsements from Democratic heavyweights such as Senator Dianne Feinstein. And to a crowd in the Castro, Weiner told them, with last night's election results, it's all the more important to move forward in California. For KALW News, I'm Judy Silber.
Jane Kim will return to her seat on the Board of Supervisors, while Mayor Ed Lee can appoint somebody to Scott Weiner's. The overall makeup of the Board of Supes may shift to the moderate side of the Democratic spectrum. Labor union official Asha Safai leads in the race for termed-out John Avalos' seat. A count of ranked choice votes is underway. Several measures on San Francisco's ballot also pitted moderate and progressive politicians against each other. KALW's Liza Veal reports.
Supervisor Aaron Peskin was upbeat about progressive victories on the local ballot. First, the defeat of the Realtor Association-backed measures.
The voters saw through the realtors' two anti-affordability measures, propositions P and U. They could tell they stank PU.
You guys love that joke.
Yeah.
And he says the voters of San Francisco overwhelmingly supported Prop C to provide $261 million for affordable housing. But unfortunately for Peskin, the four good government measures, as the progressives call them, were defeated. Mayor Ed Lee campaigned against those, so he'll be pleased. But the bad news for the mayor is that his sales tax, Prop K, did not pass. It was supposed to provide $155 million for homelessness and transportation services, but it
went down to an overwhelming defeat while the mayor was distracted with four relatively modest Democratic reform measures. So that's the story here in San Francisco.
At least according to Aaron Peskin. In San Francisco, I'm Liza Veal.
San Franciscans passed a proposition that would outlaw tents on sidewalks, and another that would put limits on lobbyists. They overwhelmingly passed a measure to try to improve police oversight. And they passed two education measures, a bond for public schools, and a tax extension to support City College of San Francisco. KALW's J.C. Howard was at a campaign party for Props A and B last night.
Supporters of Proposition B gather at Mooka Restaurant in San Francisco to celebrate the extension of a $99 a year property tax, now set to continue funding for City College of San Francisco through the year 2031. The increase in the tax goes to what supporters call a critical cause, a raise for faculty who have not received a pay increase since the year 2007. City College Board of Trustee President Raphael Mandelman is excited about the victory.
It's a good thing because it's going to allow us to preserve classes, to preserve access for students, and to give our employees a little bit of additional compensation.
Proposition B had no official opposition, so supporters are not surprised about the victory, but they do celebrate the definitive win anyway. For KALW, I'm J.C. Howard in San Francisco.
While San Francisco voters approved education funding measures, they rejected propositions that would allow people as young as 16 to vote in local elections. Often, when many measures fill the ballots, the easy answer for voters is to just say no. But that was not the overall trend in the Bay Area. KALW's Marissa Ortega-Welch has more on that when it comes to so-called soda taxes.
Last night, all three soda taxes on the ballot in the Bay Area passed. Oakland, San Francisco, and Albany voters approved the 1 cent per ounce tax on sugar-sweetened beverages by an overwhelming majority. People might have had the presidential election on their mind, but they were busy celebrating their hard work on this campaign. The tiny Measure HH headquarters in Oakland was packed with volunteers and supporters of all ages. Everyone was eating pupusas and toasting their victory with beer, not soda. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf and Oakland City Council members Desley Brooks and Annie Campbell Washington all stopped by to help celebrate. Diane Woolocean, Oakland campaign spokesperson, said the victories really do prove the strength of communities.
I mean, I think it brings it down to all politics is local, and this is really local politics. This is a local initiative against a large corporation.
Woolocean says the tax on soda distributors will bring in revenue that the city of Oakland can use for health programs. Oakland's soda tax will go into effect July 2017. For Cross Currents, I'm Marissa Ortega-Welch in Oakland.